Thank you for the pause.
Well, you have two situations. One, you suspect what might have happened and you don't want to face it. But avoiding it will not solve your problem. Well, what if I find that my father raped me? You think it's going to get better? It's Father's Day. Well, my mother abused me. Might as well be Mother's Day. What difference does it make? Perhaps they did the only thing they knew to do. Do you have a right to allow them to control you? When are you going to take up your own responsibility and say, I refuse to take any more of your garbage? If it happened, it happened. Period. Hiding from it will not make it different. That's what the government does. Confront it, forgive. Forgive first of all yourself. And then if you have the opportunity, if the parent or the damaging party, the damager, is available, confront them and say, I no longer will allow you to control my life. I'm tired of this disease I've brought upon myself. And I don't mean disease, I mean dis-ease. If you want any part of my life anymore, you take your garbage. I will no longer carry it. You would be astounded within a very household. What you thought you could not rise above becomes a very workable unifying force. Man is filled with error. Man is filled with desire. Man is filled with insecurity. That's the problem right there. His desire for power. Somebody, at least, if I cannot control you otherwise, I will do it through power. I will make you lesser so that I can feel bigger. Only it never works. Never works. And yet, if these things are not confronted, this is the old, the sins of the father will be rested on the child. And once again, this is absolutely a saying. It has nothing to do with father versus mother. It is the sins of mankind will be rested on his coming generations. And that's what you're doing now. All of you. Somebody may go to the therapist and say, well, I need to wake up to this problem so I can heal it. You realize, though, precious ones, what is happening? Mankind is having to wake up. He can still confront it because he is still in his trance. And once confronted, he must take responsibility. I don't mean to give you the mental lecture, but we're going to have to come back into a lot of discussion about mind and how it functions. But first you've got to find what you are and why it's so easy to mold and destroy this wonderful fragment of mind. This electric wave that gives motion and and life to your illusion. And I'm going to do it a little differently today. I've got to have help. As we move farther along, it isn't that we need help necessarily either in the writing or the receiving or the speaking or the whatever. But there's got to be participation. And we don't usually start hard. Get up here, Rick, please. We start on somebody who doesn't dare speak back what we do. BJ, give him the paper. I'd like him to read it. We're going to have more for Misu Sananda. And this gives us an opportunity to practice. We shared in the writing of today's lesson. So anytime you're ready.
Sunday, June 20th, 1993. Father's Day, 1993. Each year you ones come up with your annual celebrations of this or that in order to aid commerce and focus a bit of attention on a given subject. I am honored that some of you ones have honored me by expressing your feeling of one with me as father to my own offspring manifested as you. It is a wondrous joy for any parent who had great love for his children to have a child say, "Thank you, Dad, for the hard lessons, and I recognize that you must love me greatly to allow me expression and walk me through your lessons, and walk with you through your lessons." It gives cause to stop and think upon these things for a while in order to consider that which is and that which may come to be. There is no future, there is only the curved universe, which shall bring into your attention that which you are expressing now. Complicated? No, it only seems complicated and complex because of all the incorrect lessons and perceptions. Moreover, you have reached a time in cycle evolution where you must consider the spiritual aspects of self more carefully than the physical, if you are to continue your journey to knowing. The gourd of ashes has been shown in the heavens, and time of recognition of plight is at hand. This means the day of the Lord is also at hand, for when the student is ready, the teacher will always come for the higher lessons. Let us speak a bit of this future concept. There is nothing except electric waves in this universe in which you are experiencing your play. But what you least realize is that the invisible universe is the one in absolute control of the visible. The invisible universe dominates and controls all motion. This is by magnetic division into cube wave fields of zero, no curvature, beyond which no moving thing can pass. It can, however, repeat itself in neighboring wave fields, but always in reverse ad mirrors reverse. This, in fact, this illusion, is exactly that, a reverse reflection, mirror image, in simulation of the cause, which offers the effect of being. The geometry of the zero universe is based upon the cube and cube sections, no curvature. Their planes are of zero curvature, and they reflect their forms in matter, in crystal structures, which are the only forms of zero curvature in nature. All motion in the electric universe is curved. The curved universe of matured form is based upon the sphere. The sphere is a compressed cube. Oops. The sphere is a series of true circles, no matter where it may be divided into sections, by cutting through it in one plane, anywhere. All motion is equally compressed in respect to gravity. Gravity. Therefore, all motion is in true gravity-centered circles, which multiply into spheres and again divide into true circles. And what is the center of these circles? What is represented therein? Yes, the source of all energy is the Creator. All motion of every nature, whether of thought or action, spins in a circular spiral control around the omnipotent Creator of that motion and in planes of 90 degrees from a shaft of any extension of motion. The time must come when many must know where God is at every moment in respect to himself. He must completely understand how God controls every action and desire of all living things, from man to the most tiny cells and spores, or from galaxy to electron. During their entire journeys, from their beginnings in him to their endings in him, these are the unknown things which unfolding man must know before he can begin to manifest his own divine inheritance. May you, my own, be given to come rapidly into this knowing. And now, my precious friends and family, let us speak a bit on the future, this wondrous concept that allows for dreaming, planning, learning, and anticipation worthy of action motion. Your enemy has stalked you and sought to destroy you. He has risen up, had goodly works, and revealed a very sharp sword and destructive life, destroying weapons. He has hurled these things at your faithfulness, and he has made himself quite worthy of the fear instilled within you. Man has come and gone in equity while seeking out revilements only for the beastly, for the wolves of great massacres, for those who do a wrong and who know wherein they do it. It is indeed confusing and misleading, but don't be so perplexed as to miss the truth of it in expression. Your swords and coats of goodly armor are wrought of far tougher material and fibers than any of you have yet thought. The arenas of your strivings, precious ones, are far higher on the uplands and mountaintops. I know that you would enjoy comforts of some trivial gossip and speakings, but that would only cause you to remain within the perplexed circumstance, and indeed your banquet table would remain quite barren. It is that soon will come and go those who do the boasting and oppression. There will come the day when the drums of hate are stilled and the righteous have increase. Man must rise up and look beyond that which seems to be, and yonder unto that which is the destiny of expression. You and all the wonder of your experience must become as the child in anticipation of witness and expression in the learning and the testing curiosity. You must be as the lark in the morning time, as the sparrows who look upon their morning as a glory and radiance, another day of experience, for they have no thinking mind to do other than respond to that which is offered. If you dwell in the dreary, you shall become an immobilized dullard without ability to move on into your wondrous expression of divinity. You will walk on in the bindings of self-imprisonment. Take note of these things upon which you allow your mind and physical self to dwell. Is it your resources? Is it your possibility of some loss or another? Is it your self-limiting focus on how bad things are for you? Do you think of your brother and pray for him? Or do you ask perfection, luxury, security, and having for self? Ponder these things, for wherein lies your thought and heart, there too shall be entrapped and immobilized self. There is coming the sequence of events in which the tauntings and boasting shall be cast down, and the Father tells you that you are my beloved. I am he who has proclaimed you. I have given you speakings and writings, and I have laid them in your presence and upon your lips, that you can know your way. Do you use them, or do you turn to that which is already proven crushing upon the very soul? You are not just my lambs, you are the shepherds. The sheep go before you, and unto the still waters and meadows of plenty are you beckoned. Where do you go? I ask you, family of my beloved circle, is it better to be one who goes before the sheep and sees not the mischief performed by the wolves, than to give all vigilance and hear the small plight of the lamb that is taken? Look beyond the sheep into that which is ahead, having learned the prospects and possibilities and the probabilities of pitfalls and dangers. Then let the sheep go before you, so that you can watch over them and hear their cries as if in a wilderness of blindness. Of course, there are comings and goings of perplexed circumstances. There can be anger in the morning as often as the gentle perfection of joy, as ever endless scenarios unfold in the expression of manifestation. There can be strife presented in the noontime and the evening, and thus and so, but the goodly company shall pause not to be bogged in the mire of that which may be. Know that you shall pass beyond this incident, this action, this perceived moment, and on into that which is real and valid. You must keep on valiantly while seeing the splendor of the goal to be taken. Respond to me, Chelas, and I succor you now and forever. My help rests upon you as the down feathers of the eagle, but with the security of the flight feathers of the phoenix. I now and forever shall ennoble you to all things wondrous and beautiful, as you rise above those things of ugly reflection, of soulless evil images born in the places of hell, that place devoid of God and light. Separate not from the light, for in your wanderings in the dark reflections and expressions you shall become lost. I ask that you open your ears to understanding, and eternity in my places shall surely receive you. You shall become holders of true wisdom, and you shall flourish as the perfection which you mirror as God in self, if you but come and walk this path with me. I can see you home, children, and I shall, for it is my promise that I shall do so. You shall learn and know, and we shall go into the wondrous expression of greater and ever greater experience as we reach into that cosmic universe. Don't dwell in consternation at the lessons. All things need explanation, that you do not go without reason, but full comprehension does not come until the knowing. All else is learning. The messengers come to you, bringing both trumpets as well as perplexities. I'm sorry, bringing both triumphs as well as perplexities. They are guided of light in that he gives them placement, instruction. They shall tell you of the plan and the beauties of its masterings, so that you can learn and know substance. I further, however, caution to not demand that they give you this or that. You shall petition for your brethren and for another creature or creation. But God knows that which you need for your journey and growth, and your only valid approach unto God is, Thy will be done in your higher knowing, Father. You continually ask for things which, if given as asked, would destroy you, for you are yet ignorant as to the whole, and would ask for the moment, and miss the wondrousness of the victory awaiting. You are impatient in your growing, and you would act out of eagerness instead of wisdom. Man chooses his pathway and makes his own progress. We can show him the way and lead and tread the path before you, and even motivate good to come unto you. I can even convince you of my presence, but I must leave to you your decisions. Now is the time of cycle, however, wherein in your growth or ignorance, I must say to you, choose. For it is time to know if you be of your Father Creator or servants to the darkness. It is not so strange, the vision of man, for it is easy to see that darkness needs some radiance to relieve the absence of vision, but one does not perceive the light readily. It is just there and is unseen in its presence. Well, Chila's a new cycle has performed and opened. The times are ripe on earth for heavenly manifestings. How much progress has man made in his experiencing? He cries out for light, and he shall arrive at a point where denial of truth shall not longer be acceptable to his own senses. Man has gained a whole lot of knowledge, but not wisdom. He has used this knowledge to bring utter peril to himself, and has gone far in learning's application, yet he threatened himself with extinction. Man seeks the spirit as he has never before sought. Life has its mysteries. Science has her quandaries. The souls of men arrive at the crossroads of experiencing, and a massive cry goes up. Men utter the cry, "Where are those who will lead us?" We are stopped and do not find our leaders. There is none to lead us farther. But men cry out their anguish and error, and their mistakes find them out. I and my host go before them with great truths. I say again, accept the light. For lo, we are the lamplighters bringing forth light unto searching man. We are come to flood them with light, but they must see for themselves the spirit moving and behold the results of spirituality and goodness as we lead them. We can push a little or shove or push a little, but we cannot make this journey of a single one of you. I can only repeat that you have the truth. Practice it. You have the spirit. Use it. Goodly gifts have been given to you. Now I command that you employ them. You keep running to me with petitions of show me and manifest master that we can believe. Well, precious ones, we will manifest when we are ready to come forth in physical aspect. We are not the little gray clones of interplanetary fables and myths. We are the hosts of God come to attend our people and the things of Creator. My words are but sounds on the waves of energy frequency. My thoughts are the manifestation of that which you are. Therefore, you must hear the words and be them. The call has now come forth for higher things to be revealed, and the bright and radiant word shall be revealed in unfolding manifestation, and from the ugliness shall become manifest the beauty that has been so long hidden. The Pharisees still live, my friends, and man has his scribers, writers, to lay down the laws of man to oppress and imprison. Behold your lawyers, but rend the goodly and lift up the evil standards. Ah, yes, many dwell now in goodly places, but have great darkness in their hearts. Moreover, to simply come forth in pretense of goodness while practicing in the physical greed of self-gain is not hidden from the presence of God and is not hidden from the sight of man. The truth is easy to remember. The lie grows out of bound and changes with the wind. Hold to the light, and in the ending the truth shall be made known in honor and profit, and the evil cheats shall manage to damage and consume themselves. Indeed, it may seem to take long, but dear ones, time is really all you have in eternity in which to express and experience. Be patient. What you see is most often not what is. The Remnant. I ask that we rerun a section from a small booklet written by one called David Lewis, Survival of the Remnant. We have shared it before, and it needs to be shared again as refresher and reminder that you are in the great time of change and must be confronted. The holy remnant, as well as the human remnant, must prevail through these pressing tribulations, and you must fight also for the survival of America, as well as your own, for it is the place of chosen greatness and the place of your manifested heritage of the ancients. You must win this battle without man's weapons, but by using the greatest power of all weaponry, the prevailing powers of God. Quoting, in the grim years ahead, the time is 2000. The place, Earth. now a desolate planet showing dying by its own accumulated errors and follies. It is dying in the end result of man's wasteful years, his growth of technologies in the wrong direction, his fear of being conquered, and his inability to cope with the reality that people are a human entity of God, and not to be used and misused as a tool of whimsical temperament to deprive, starve, or destroy at will. By man's own choice, the Earth in Global 2000 lies barren of its forests, while sand dunes rapidly spread over the fertile farmlands that once served us so well. Nearly 2 million species of plant life has withered on the burned stalks. Birds, insects, and animals have vanished from sight. The once sparkling rivers that gave life to the world are now dried, and the river bottoms are likened to the skin of the crocodile. The fertile valleys, the golden wheat field, citrus groves, and millions of acres of vegetables are now only a faint recollection of the past. Aircraft no longer fly over the cities, and the traffic-congested streets are the slight ghosts of an era past. Sidewalks are no longer the footpaths for hurried feet, for although they barely remain, the memory is now lurking in the shadows of the blackened fog of radioactivity that shrouds the atmosphere. Nearby and far-off structures that once housed the metropolis of activity has changed from the architectural splendor into a deadened nightmare of man's stubborn attempts to defy God and nature as he changes the atom into weapons of destruction. Yet with this aforehead knowledge firmly planted in the minds of most intelligent men, knowing that this era will come to a close, he is still propagating so rapidly that his momentum is carrying him even faster to a civilization demise. This bleak and solemn scenario is not science fiction to any degree, but a detailed study of the real world's future in Global 2000, which is a prophecy that is merely waiting to be played out. Global 2000 could grow into an even darker picture to this great historical event if we continue to speed up the intricate acts and threats of war, thus painting an absolutely shocking picture of the world 15 years from now. God did not plan our future, but knowing man as he does, his prophecies will ring true on that day of Global 2000 and 2001. Man has insisted on his own follies and has learned little by his mistakes. Thus he has paved his own road to the abyss of hell, taking with him all of mankind. Today we live in an era where nearly everything is geared toward armament and destruction. Our guns are in readiness. Our attitudes are tense, faces are grim with the progressing news of world events, frustration mounting and nerves frayed to near short circuits. We have approached that time in our society where it is now fashionable to burn all candles at both ends, outwardly demonstrate our greed and selfishness, stimulate riots and discontent, and scoff at those who still show some Christian background. To our deepened regret, government officials throughout the world have planted the seeds of deceit, spoken unforgivable words in their constant ringing, prepared many guises in order to cover the actual intentions, led the masses to complete ignorance, and have aided the communistic parties where they in turn can begin to take over freedoms within this great nation. Yet in a war of nerves to the American people, they lead us to believe there will be no impending dangers, while they silently proceed with their plans toward the one world government, a one world order, a one world religion, and for a money control, a one world bank. Is this the freedom promised you under our Constitution? We can no longer back away from the conclusions of this truth any more than we can continue to sidestep the conclusions of Global 2000. The stakes are too high for the United States and for all mankind. This, then, is the challenge of the century to all who truly care about God's creation, the ultimate destiny of mankind, and the real meaning of survival. I am going to close out this writing with some sobering statements from your own claimed books of knowledge and religious teachings. Let this truth be held within your bosom, for it will come to pass that it bears great importance. Just as there is true definition of such as Khazar, Gentile, Jew, Gog, Magog, expressed in many languages, as example, in Arabic, Gog means China, and Magog means Russia. Let us not fiddle in such manners to the extent that you miss the point. I want you to understand that all the New World Order and other things applicable to changing times, China right now controls its active army of a bit over 225 million. The Bible refers to China aggression as the Yellow Peril. The armies of 200 million coming out of the east, shielded with armor and swords, riding their horses to battle. Do not let the horses fool you. It is all that was available for transportation at the writing of the book. Let us just consider horsepower and weapons. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 4, quote, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, China, and the land of Magog, Russia, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, a prophecy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into the jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Unquote. There is something even more important, however, to remember. We speak of those in the Mongol origin. You must remember that the Khazarian Zionists are of Mongol, Rus, Russian, and Nordic origin. So what does this possibly mean? Let us consider that the very forces of that which is basically humanistic and atheistic in perception shall have a rising up against each other that shall be as the explosion of the planet itself. Does this mean that all Chinese and all Russians and all Americans and all men are evil and against God? No. It means you should learn your lessons so you know what to look for and get your own self squared away with God so you hear your instructions if you are to be among the remnant. Salut. To sum up, change. We must make changes because changes are inevitable, and the first change we have to make is in ourselves, as to how we see the world and how we are able to deal with life. That change comes about releasing the past, releasing the blame, the anger, and frustration for what you feel has been done to you, and to get on with your life. Attitude prevails, and in order to change what is prevalent around us, we have to be willing to change the attitude within ourselves. Nothing begins if it doesn't begin right here with you, with me. Nothing happens unless it happens with me, Little Crow.
We're thrilled by the greater lessons. Stunned by the having to face it. Some days it looks as if it were easier to go and crawl into a hole and wait. But you know what? You can't even depend on this illusion coming to termination. You only have what one's telling you. How long would you wait? As you grow into the aspect of higher being, you can make it a long time. Just by breathing. Even your atmosphere that will bear higher rays, radiating down through whatever may be there. You'll be able to handle it in a physical sense. It's an interesting journey. It's an impatient journey. The ones who are bogged from morning into the night, saying, "Man, I'm not very impatient. Let's just peel a little of this off and let me sit back and be patient." And then comes another day, and perhaps that one's burden is a little lesser. And as you sit to your tasks, you feel, "Uh-oh, shouldn't have petitioned, should have been patient. Now look what I've done, I've got it." Thank you, Rick. You found the master there. I didn't have to do very much to form this morning's writing, because that is the energy form that will manifest as the way shore. And he's doing a lot of communicating now, a lot of writing with Rick. You ones need that. And yet there's no singular privilege, is there, to sit in your corner and do nothing but write down these wonderful, marvelous bits of wisdom. And your soul cries out and says, "But Father, those marvelous little pearls of wisdom is really all there is. That's what I'm searching for. Why do you make us go through all of this incredible expression and experience when all my own soul longs for is the truth of those little pearls of wisdom from the King of Wisdom?" But it's not that simple, is it? You have come through the generations and the eons of time tamping down that wisdom, getting rid of it. It isn't like even you have just compressed it and it can blossom forth with the rain. That's what happens with knowledge. You call it up from the depths of your memories. And it's like a sponge. It gets larger and bigger. But just knowing, just having knowledge in the expression of the human plane is not enough. You are within that curved universe where everything that exists is cause and effect. Cause from the thought of God expressed in simulation and reflection. Coming from that flat, comprehensive cube of absolute, where everything that is, is. The simplicity is mind-boggling. Man goes about making it very complex.
scientists pick it up and make it even more complex. Lawyers pick it up and make it politically inexpressible. I figure if we can bring one lawyer to God, we've got her made. Maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope. When you kick the 13th Amendment out from under the judge's bench and put it back in your Constitution, you're going to see a magnificent change. There's a way to turn your nation around. But with 225, now 250 million Chinese in armor, planning to sweep across at some point when it gets out of control, what kind of an existence will you have, even if you can bring back your constitutional law? Doesn't look too hopeful, does it? On the other hand, what are you going to do in the meanwhile? Wait until they take you away to the prison encampments? It reminds me of the helplessness felt by ones who have a gun to their head. And the one holding the gun said, "I'm going to kill you either way. Either right now or 20 minutes from now, I'm going to kill you." And the terror immobilizes to the point where you won't fight. You hover and wait. Is that what you want? I think not. If you can do something now, maybe you can cause this energy with the gun to change his mind. Or who knows what may happen in the 20 minutes. If you take your power that comes from God, by taking God, you will take control. Many, a rape or a crime of murder has been completely sidestepped because one's call on God and mean it. Not just that final, "I'm in the foxhole, I'm about to get blown away." On the other hand, simply bringing into play the very name of God often causes violent reaction. I suggest you listen within, and God will guide you in those times. You want perfection, but you want it according to what you want. It's very, very hard, isn't it, to sit back and say, "Thank you, Father, for bopping me on the head. I really loved it. Goody, goody. I really loved being totally without today. Father, look how much I learned. I'm so grateful." All things within reason and balance. It depends on what it is you want. Why are we backfeeding?
I think Karen must have smiled and it bounced off her teeth.
That is hard to follow. I said wisdom, not wit.
I didn't think
Perspective. I know that every one of you are, you wouldn't call it suffering because you don't understand it enough. It isn't exactly painful, but it's certainly annoying. All of you are being bombarded to the extent that it's very, very difficult sometimes to maintain thought. If you are taking your Gyandriana, you should be moving into a much more comfortable capability of handling this. Now, what is happening? You're being hit with extra low frequency waves. And a lot of this we are exploring with Dr. Tesla. And we'll be publishing it along as we go. One's always think of Tesla with his high frequency waves. And of course, that's where we're headed. What do you do, however, when you are in an expression and in the middle of an assault, when everything there is in your world is electric waves, and motion and action is the electrical expression, then you must confront the fact.